Full disclosure, I broadcast UConn football games, and both pregame, halftime, and sometimes postgame, I enjoy looking out of our fifth floor perch at the Rent and enjoying the outstanding musicians with the UConn Marching Band. I'm supposed to be doing some number crunching and things, so I have something intelligent to say when we go back on the air, but I have total admiration for what this band is, what it's become. I used to see them back in the 60s when I was going to football games at UConn, but they have emerged into a really, really impressive organization. And I'm delighted to be joined this morning by Malcolm Jones, the director of the UConn Marching Band, and also one of the band members. Malin Gonzalez is here today, too. And, of course, the big news with the marching band is they'll be performing at the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade next year. We'll talk about all that this morning with our guest today, Malcolm. Malin, good morning. Good to see you today. And, Malcolm, give a little background on the UConn Marching Band.
Good morning. Thanks for having us today. We're super excited to be here. Just a little bit of background. You know, the marching band has been a thing almost 130 years. So when we go to Macy's next year, we'll also be celebrating our 130th year anniversary. So that's something that we're super excited for. We've been preparing for the marching band at UConn is over 300 members. That includes our wind players, our battery, our front ensemble, our color guard, and our wonderful drum majors, along with our staff as well. So we've got a plethora of ins and outs that goes a part of the UConn Marching Band.
All right, Malcolm, I'm up there watching your show like everybody else at the Rent is. While I'm watching that show, while the band is doing not just the music but also the routines out there, what's your role? What are you doing?
While we're performing, my role is to clap and enjoy because all of the teaching has already been done at that point. So I'm, you know, trusting my students to go out there and execute the plan that we've made for them. So while they're actually playing and performing, my role is just to be excited and be a fan.
Sounds like Coach Mora. His job is to get the team ready to go, and they do their thing, and he watches on the sideline. Emily, good morning. Thanks for joining me today. What instrument do you play with the UConn Marching Band?
Hi, good morning. I actually played trumpet for my first 3 years at UConn Marching Band, and this year I'm one of the drum majors, so I don't play anything, but I help run the show.
All right, what's the role of a drum major? How do you become a drum major, and what is your role?
So there's a extensive application process. It basically starts with a written application, and then once you make it past that round, you go to an interview process where they ask you some leadership questions, trying to gauge how you would run rehearsals, how valuable procedure is, and how you would interact with the other bandmates. And then once that's done and you move on past that round, there's an audition process where they basically take an element of that year's show and tell you, okay, you're going to conduct this section of it and the fight song. And based on your performance there, they release the names and basically you're a drum major.
Now, are you still playing the trumpet maybe in your dorm room or someplace? I mean, you're not playing it on the field, but you still play it, aren't you?
I do, yeah. Actually, I'm part of the UConn Pep Band, which is one of the bands that plays for the basketball season and hockey season now, too. So I get plenty of practice in on my trumpet still.
And Malcolm, explain how that works. You've got some of the people that we see on the field doing the routines of the football games, and we may not know which ones are which, but some of those people we're seeing, they do perform at the basketball and now the hockey games.
Yeah, a lot of those people actually overlap. It's pretty much a small number of folks who don't do our basketball bands that don't do marching bands. So it's, most of them are, you know, kind of doing double duty. So a lot of them, like for instance, tomorrow we have an exhibition. Oh, they're at Southington High School that we're playing there, but we also have a hockey game that's happening that evening as well. So we're going to have some folks that are going to have to kind of do double duty. So a lot of these students, I mean, they're very involved, you know, as opposed to what they're already studying, because most of them are not music majors. You know, they're very involved in the marching band. So that's, you know, the six home games that we have. And then once basketball season starts here at UConn, which is a big deal, you know, they're pretty much going double duty, almost triple duty. So a lot of them are doing mostly double duty and double dipping. So I don't know where they find the time to do it, but they're there. We appreciate it.
Not just the student athletes who have to time manage when they've got all the practices and games, but also members of the UConn band as well. Emlyn, were you given the opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament with basketball, men and women, and maybe to the Final Four?
Last year, I was part of the pep band. We got some travel time in. It was quite the experience, yeah.
Tell me more about it. What do you do the same routines at the NCAA venues you would do at a game at Gamble or in Hartford?
Yeah, actually, we kind of bring it up a little bit more. We know that we're going to be broadcast, so we want to sound our best, look our best. I know something that we try to go all out on is face paint and spirit. So as good as we sound, we want to make sure we look even better. So it's all about bringing the spirit at those times.
Malcolm, did new songs, did new tunes get added to the repertoire of the UConn Marching Band's performances this year?
Yeah, so we try to do new things every year. This year, our main show, our exhibition show that we're doing is a Music of Michael Jackson. We've also added a plethora of new charts in our stands. So we're always trying to do things that, you know, the crowd will like, the students will like, which isn't a big overlap, but we're trying to find, you know, some of those newer songs too to include that we play.
Now, I can air guitar with the best of them. I can do a little bit of guitar work, although these metal strings drive my fingers nuts. And back in the day, I used to be able to play the trumpet, Emlyn's instrument. But how does someone, maybe not me, but how does someone become a member of the UConn Marching Band?
Sign up for the class. Marching Band is a class, and that's pretty much it. You know, usually all of our students have some sort of musical background. You know, they've played in high school, but some of them weren't in marching band. Some of the schools that they went to didn't have marching band, but they want to continue, you know, their musical education and maybe do something new. So as long as you, you know, want to join the marching band, we'll take you.
Were you an old marching band guy, Malcolm?
I was. I did marching band. You know, I'm from Ohio originally, so I did a lot of marching band in Ohio, which is a big marching band state, but I've kind of been all over the place.
What was your instrument or instruments?
I grew up as a trombone player. Yeah.
And Emlyn, were you also a high school band member?
Actually, I was not. No, my first marching experience was in the UCMB, and I've never played like a brass instrument before, so picking up the trumpet my freshman year of college was the first time I ever touched one, and it honestly was the best choice ever. I've loved it ever since.
We see the performances both on the field and off the court at the UConn home games, but people don't see what goes into it, the practices. Tell me what that's like, Emlyn, and how intense these practices are, not just from a musical standpoint, but also so you know where to stand and where not to stand and where to go during all these routines on the field.
Tuesday, Thursday, it's for 2 hours, and then Friday, it's for 2.5. And we basically, we designated some days to music and to drill. So Thursdays now are our music rehearsals. We kind of dig in deep. Dr. Brown is our fantastic assistant director. He loves to go in and clean up any music things. He actually arranged the pieces we perform, so he knows what he wants it to sound like. And then Tuesdays, we dig hard into the drill, getting lots of reps in, and basically teaching them that the form is important. Make sure you're always looking. There's so many elements to marching. You want to move your eyes around, but also be watching the hands. You want to be able to play your instrument and sound good. It's insane.
All right, let's get to the A material here. And that's what happened in New York a couple of weeks ago. You go down, and today's show makes the big announcement that UConn Marching Band will be part of the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, not this year, but next year. When the band went down, Malcolm, did you know what was about to happen? Because as I understand it, the band members did not.
Yeah, I knew what was going on. There was a lot of behind-the-scenes things. So they called us, emailed us about maybe a month ahead of time, and we had that discussion that we were being accepted into that parade. So we were trying to figure out a way to tell the students, but just because of logistics on our end, it just didn't work out. So when we went down to New York, yeah, it was a kind of a surprise. Like, they were kind of asking us why they were there, and we were just saying,
the band members.
Yes, the students were asking us, you know, why we were going down in the city, because it's not something we hadn't done before, but usually we kind of give them a little bit more insight on why we're doing things, but...
Now, I was here on the air. I did see some of the video of it, but did you actually play that morning on the Today Show? Or were you just there just to hang out in Rockefeller Center?
We did play a couple times. So we played a lot of our school songs on air, which was a pretty cool event for them. We took about 50 students down there, but we did have some playing opportunities.
Emlyn, were you one of those 50?
I was not. I had a lab to go to.
Yeah,
so.
Some people actually had classes to go to, too. But yeah, and then came the big announcement.
We have a big surprise, I think,
yes,
for all of you. Start practicing for another huge performance here in New York, because the Pride of Connecticut Marching Band will be featured in next year's Macy's Day, yes, Thanksgiving Parade.
Jenna Bush Hager, the one that made that announcement on the Today Show, letting people know that the UConn Marching Band will be in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. Malcolm, what will go into that? I understand that Macy's is actually giving UConn like $10,000 to help facilitate that actual appearance.
Yeah, we've been blessed to have a little starter funds from us for Macy's. So obviously the biggest part probably going into it is the expense piece, getting down to the city and getting the hotels and all those things. But just the planning from our performance side, we don't do a lot of parades as the UCMB. We do our homecoming parade, which is significantly smaller in length and shorter in length than what, this parade will be. So we've got to prepare for that. And then we also have to think about, the rep that we're going to play at down in the parade as well. So there's going to be a lot of planning going into this.
So will you be taking some of the A material songs and play them again every block or so? Because the people two blocks up didn't hear it. So, like, for example, the UConn fight song, but other songs as well. Or will you have a totally unique musical program for the entire length of the parade?
I think it might be honestly a little bit of both. During the parade route, we'll have, our songs like the fight song and some of our school songs that we'll probably play throughout. But I do believe we might have a chance to perform like on the concourse, which will probably be a completely different piece of music that we'll be having there. So the planning is very rough, very early stages, but we'll come together as a team and figure that all out.
What does this mean in the big picture for the UConn Marching Band? Is this going to make even more demand for students to come to UConn and become a part of this band?
We hope so. I mean, this is, as you know, this is a very forward-facing event. It's not just something that is great for UConn, but great for the state of Connecticut and also for the country. I remember watching this parade pretty much every Thanksgiving at my mom's house, and I'm sure everyone else around the country does the same. So just to have that kind of exposure again at a national level is just, it's just amazing for the UCMB and just the UConn community as a whole.
Malcolm, as I understand it, this is your first year as director of athletic bands at UConn. You came from Marist. I'm assuming the Marist marching band is not quite as expansive, not quite as big as the UConn marching band?
They're not. I mean, but that's also, Marist is a very small liberal arts school, about 6,500 students. So my marching band itself was around 65, whereas UConn, we're about almost five times that in the marching band. We're over 300, so...
Have you tried to add new things in your first year that maybe hadn't been done before with the UConn band?
I think so. I mean, I've added a little spin to some stuff that I've experienced either, in my past career or even at Marist that I think are a little bit helpful. I guess Malin could probably tell me if that's been working or not. But yeah, I think I have had a little bit of a twist. I haven't tried to shake things up too much. I've had two colleagues around me that have been at UConn for years who kind of helped me, tell me, hey, this is what we've been doing, or this is, kind of what we're kind of going towards. So, but I have added a little twist to some things.
Malin, what do you see for the future? What's your major at UConn? Is it a music major? And will it involve the aforementioned trumpet?
I am not a music major. I'm a marine science major at UConn. I don't see myself not playing the trumpet, though. I love the thing, and it reminds me of some of my best years. I mean, the UCMB has made my college experience so much better. So I don't think I'll stop playing anytime soon. Whether it's just on my own or hopefully in some sort of community band. But yeah, I do plan on playing the trumpet still.
Who are one or two of the best in the field, the ones that you really admire playing the trumpet? And when your age, it was Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass. But anybody besides that?
Oh, I mean, our very own Dr. Brown. I've seen videos of him back when he marched, I believe, cadets. He's fantastic. And then I don't know. I mean, I haven't really thought about any role models, but I guess I'll stick with Dr. Brown for now.
All right, let me back up the truck then. Why the trumpet in the first place? What was it that first made you want to play that?
I have always been a part of, like, music. I used to do choirs in high school, so it wasn't like music was unknown to me totally. And I did move around when I was younger, but because of that, I was sort of closed off from the band programs. Trumpet's something I've always wanted to do. My parents were in the military, and it was kind of something that was always around the house, and my uncle used to play. And when I went to college, he had a spare, and he said, you can take it with you, join the marching band. And that's basically the end of the story.
Malcolm, you mentioned this thing tomorrow with Southington High School, or at the exhibition you're having. How does someone get the UConn band to play at their school? I mean, that's pretty cool for the folks in Southington.
Yeah, so the Southington director, I believe, is a UConn alum, so that usually helps. A lot of the area marching band directors around here are UConn alum. They essentially ask, you know, it's we got the email ask early in the summer, probably around May or June, and we saw if it looked in to see if it fitted our schedule, and luckily it did. We'd usually try to do one or two exhibition shows because we also use it almost as a recruitment tool to go out there in the community and play, and have, you know, high school students see us, or like the community parents see us as well. So they asked, and they were very lucky that it fit in our schedule.
How long or how many hours of practice does the UConn marching band put in on a weekly basis, especially during the season? And when does that begin? I'm assuming it's beginning several weeks before the first home game of the year.
It depends on the semester, honestly. So we usually come to campus the semester before, the week before the semester starts. That includes, you know, basically 12-hour days those first few days. So preseason is like a 9-to-9 situation. And then we also rehearse throughout the week, about 6.5 hours a week. And then depending on when the schedule is, the football schedule starts, we might have, you know, a couple weeks leading up to that first game. But I think this year we had, the first game was that first Saturday of the semester. So we, in whatever background or whatever stuff the students do outside of rehearsal, their own practicing, you know, added hours onto that, on top of, you know, their schedules and trying to figure out, you know, their day to day.
Sounded good as ever, the UConn Marching Band and the UConn Fight Song, as we have folks from the UConn Marching Band joining us this morning. Malcolm Jones, the director of athletic bands at the University of Connecticut, and one of the drum majors, who was a trumpet player in the band, Emlyn Gonzalez, to talk about what's going on with the UConn Marching Band and, for that matter, the UConn Pep Band. Malcolm, you had mentioned earlier about the music classes that you have to take to become a member of the band. MUSI 1108 and then 1109. Tell me about those classes and what the students learn in those classes.
So one of those classes is marching band. So those are the obviously you sign up for that class and you become a member of the marching band. Another section that we have is we have our drumline class. So all of our percussionists and for that regard our color guard have then an extra sectional that they have for about 2 hours a week after our Tuesday rehearsals, because their routines and their technique is almost a little bit more integral and integrated than what we even do on the wind band side. So they have to memorize a lot of their charts well ahead of time before their wind friends. So both of those classes run concurrently. Our percussionists and our color guard have those 2 extra hours of sectional time. But a lot goes into those planning and playing and practicing of both of those classes.
Yeah, tell me more about the drumline. And that seems to be a relatively new thing. I'm talking the last 10, maybe 15 years or so. The time that I really noticed them, when we were courtside at Gamble or in Hartford, and they're out there 20 feet in front of me, and they're doing their drum thing, maybe halftime of a basketball game. And number one, it's fun. It's great. But number two, it's loud.
Yeah.
But who are these? Are these drumline people? People who would also be part of the halftime show at the Rent?
They are. They're our drumline, our students, and they're part of the marching band there. Our drumline is fortunate to be run by Tyler Campbell, who is an alumni of the UConn marching band. So, I mean, again, he's been our instructor, I believe, for the last 10, 15 years. So he's kind of ramped up the expectations of the drumline. I mean, they are a very tight-knit group, and they are very precise and concise, and I mean they're great, and they get called to do gigs around campus, off campus, even without the marching band. So you know the gigs that we're called for, you know the games or other events, they get called even more.
I was on your website and I saw there is a link to a membership contract. When people join the band at UConn, they sign a membership contract. What's involved in that?
A lot of it is just saying, you know, you'll be here for the commitments. We have a lot of commitments to do. So the schedule that we create back in May before the semester even happens, you know, we want students to know. We want students who can be there and be committed to doing the performances that we've scheduled. You know, between the football games or the exhibition shows that we do, we just want folks to say, hey, they know what they're getting themselves into and say that they will be at these events.
Malcolm, in his first year as director of athletic bands at the University of Connecticut, Emlyn's been around for a couple of years, including last year. All this attention focused on UConn getting invited to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for next year's parade. Well, they got a lot of attention last year, too, because they did a routine at Gillette Stadium during a Patriots game. You were part of that, Emlyn. What was that experience like?
It was absolutely insane. We had to leave stores, make sure we had enough time to make halftime. And as soon as we got to the stadium, we were on. So it was a very quick turnaround. Usually we'll have a morning rehearsal at the Rent, get things cleaned up if we need to focus on something, have lunch, and then pregame, have time in between. You know, it wasn't that at all. It was get there, perform, and get out as quickly as possible. But it was still super magical, yeah.
So you don't get to see the game, but you're not there for the game.
We were there for the game. We actually got to line up right outside of the stadium and see bits and pieces of it right before halftime. But, you know, enough to see that the Patriots were losing, unfortunately. But
they did that a lot last year.
Yeah. But we didn't get to watch the whole thing, no.
One thing that I thought was pretty cool was that when you practice your routine to be done on the field for the New England Patriots game, there's a little bit of a different layout to an NFL field than there is to a college field. The hash lines are different. So how did you practice where you're supposed to be when the lines aren't the same they are when you practice for a college game?
Right. So our W lot is spray painted with college hash marks. And those are farther apart than NFL hash marks. So some volunteers spray painted NFL hash marks. And from then on, it's just a reminding process of our members to, hey, when you do this rep, make sure you orient yourself according to those hash marks so that when you're on Gillette Stadium's field, you know where you are and where you need to be.
You've played before 20, 30, sometimes maybe 40,000 people at the Rent. You're playing before, what, 65,000 now at Gillette Stadium. Were you at all nervous? Were there butterflies when you went out there? Or it's just like riding a bike. You don't forget how to do it. You do your thing and you're done.
It was definitely nerve-wracking. There was another level to this performance. I've never seen that many people before in front of me. So it was really performance mode. Make sure you entertain these people. And mostly make sure that they can hear you because the Rent is significantly smaller. So we had to make sure we put in all of our effort into playing and sounding good and looking good. So
now at football games, college, pro, halftime, some people are going out to buy a beer and some people are going out to use facilities. But the people that stayed and watched, was there a gratifying reaction from the people who watched the UConn band play at halftime of a Patriots game?
Yeah, it was... it was absolutely insane. I think some members there were actually UConn alumni because when we had played our fight song, you saw people stand up and clap and cheer. And, you know, we get reactions from the Rent all the time. And I just think the sheer number difference at Gillette Stadium meant that we could almost feel the crowd interacting with us. So it was definitely substantial.
UConn has the largest collegiate marching band to play at halftime at Gillette in recent memory. Malcolm, is it difficult to build a marching band in New England? I'm a Southern California guy. I saw USC, UCLA, and of course there's all the big-time football programs down in the South. And we're building the program back up again here, but is it difficult to recruit good musicians to be in the band here in New England?
I don't think so. You know, I think a lot of people see the UConn marching band and they want to be a part of that. You know, when we go off to these exhibition shows or when we play at Gillette Stadium or if we go down to the city at the Today Show, like, we have so much exposure that I think a lot of students who are in their marching bands or in band or not in band at all and see us, they want to be a part of it. You know, we have been blessed to be at a school that has seeing a growth in numbers. Like, I think our freshman class this year at UConn is one of the biggest in history. And part of that is students who, you know, want to come here and be a part of the UCMB. So we're in a very good spot right now in stores.
So much attention was focused, well, really, when Gino and Jim started the big success of the basketball programs in the late 80s, early 90s. And it really put UConn on the national map, and it definitely increased enrollment and applications at UConn. Do you feel that the UConn band is doing something similar?
I think so. You know, because of a lot of the success we've been having recently, you know, with the Macy's invite, with the Gillette Stadium performance last year, and honestly with the exposure of the football team playing better, more people coming to the Rent to watch us, I believe all of that has come together as a microcosm to use as a recruitment tool.
Emlyn indicated she's not a music major. How about how many members of the UConn Marching Band, the big group of over 300 that we see at the Rent, are music majors? It's not a very high number.
It's not. I mean, I would say maybe 15%, maybe not even. Like, I wouldn't go above 20 or 25. Like, most of the students that I'm dealing with in the marching band, the pep band, are majoring in something completely different than music. They're going to go off and do great things and things that aren't, you know, professional musicians or teaching musicians.
Is this all literally volunteer work, or are they getting class credit for being a part of the band?
Marching band is a class. They do get credit for it. I mean, I'm sure it probably feels a lot like, you know, volunteer work because, you know, we're not paying them. But, you know, we'll feed them at events. You know, a lot of, like, the gear that they have is free to them as well. So, like, we'll set them up with book bags and swag. But a lot of it is, you know, them just doing it out of the love of their hearts. But, again, they do get a credit at the end of the semester.
UConn Marching Band, one of the most visible parts of Husky Nation. Malcolm, tell me about the UCMB uniform campaign.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we are currently in the midst of trying to raise money for new uniforms. The uniforms that we're currently in, I think, have not been replaced in about 16, 17 years, which is a long time on the marching band side. You know, I know some of us probably have clothes that are that old, but for marching band, you're thinking about it, people wearing those uniforms, the wear and tear to those things, it's a lot. It's extensive. So we're currently in the process of fundraising for new uniforms. We're still always fundraising for that, but I think we're getting closer and closer to the number that we need to get those uniforms for next year, which will also be amazing to debut for everybody.
So how do you raise that money?
ask. So a lot of it is just, you know, alumni have reached out. We have a foundation's account on campus that, you know, they'll push things out. So a lot of it's either on social media. Again, a lot of the alumni already know. So, like, they're doing pushing on their side. We'll send out, you know, donor emails, pretty much anything and everything, trying to get, you know, people to send us some money.
Speaking of alumni, UConn Marching Band, UConn bands have a great alumni, and on homecoming day, a lot of them come back and play at the Rent with the current UConn Marching Band. I saw, what, about 50 of them out there? I don't know what the exact number was, but I was enjoying it at halftime. They were out there, and it seems like they know all the songs.
Yeah, there was about 50 or 60 of them that played with us, but then there was another 100 of them that joined and just, you know, wanted to come and hang out and be back at the Rent. But, you know, that's, it's like muscle memory. It's like riding a bike. You know, you come back to it. It's just like those memories and all the stuff that you guys have been playing before. Like, it just comes back to you.
And they seem to know the routines, too. I noticed when they broke ranks, though, it wasn't exactly a really straight line.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was.
Yeah, it was. It was. You know, it's been a little bit. Because for a lot of them, you know, this is the one day that they get out there and play their instruments in March. So, you know, it's a, we'll give them a pass on that. But maybe next year we can tighten them up a little bit.
Emlyn, you're now a drum major, but you did play the trumpet as a member of the UConn Marching Band. What's more difficult, playing the music that you are trained to play in these events or doing the actual formations, running around, creating images on the field that everybody sees? Everyone's got to be at the right place or it doesn't work. So what's harder, playing the music or doing the routines?
I almost think that playing the music is harder because we want, of course, we want to hit our dot, and that's something you hear at the beginning, but then it's more about the form. So there's parts where the form can flex as long as you are next to who you need to be in the interval and around the area, as long as the form looks good, you know, you did your job. But the music, you need to play well. You need to get it on point or people are going to know that something's wrong. So I would say the music.
Hit our dot. I love that line. Malcolm, how do you teach them to be? Who choreographs all this?
Yeah, so we have a drill writer right now. So we'll essentially tell them, like, hey, we have some ideas of what we want to do. Can you chart this out on the drill for us? So luckily the drill looks basically like a grid. So there will literally chart dots on that grid. It's all electronic now. It used to be on paper, pencil kind of a thing. So we have that as our drill writer. And then, you know, we teach those sets to our students very carefully because, you know, again, as Malin said, you know, you're trying to hit your precision or hit your dot because it literally is a dot. So on the page when you look at it. So we're trying to be very precise about those things.
Now, I'm assuming that when the band members and the drum majors get to the football games, they know ahead of time what they'll be doing, where they'll be doing it and the like. Is it different with the pep band when they're playing at basketball or hockey games? Because then I think that they're kind of playing when given the cue to play. And I think, doesn't the band director use hand signals on what song to play and when?
Yeah, we do that kind of for football, too. So we don't necessarily have, like, a set list. Like, we have songs that we rehearse. The pep band rehearses about once a week. And then when we go to hockey and basketball games, it is kind of, we'll get a script of, you know, the rundown of whatever reads the PA needs to do, and then they'll let us know when we need to play. And depending on how long it is, I guess it depends on what we're going to play in that moment. It could be a 30-second timeout, or it could be, you know, a minute and a half timeout. So it all depends on what's going on in the game.
Do you teach classes at UConn?
I do. So I teach so technically the marching band, I am the director and the teacher of that, and then also the pep band is a class as well. So that's all I'm teaching right now.
The coaches at UConn recruit, and they bring in student athletes from not just around the country, but these days overseas as well. Does the UConn marching band recruit musicians to be in the band?
We do. Unfortunately, we don't have the same sort of means to get people all over the place, but a lot of what we do is regional. So we'll go out to events and play at events, or I'll go speak at local high schools and just, you know, start meeting some students, start meeting some directors. And sometimes we'll get cold emails from students too. It's like, hey, you know, I'm applying to UConn. I want to come and see what the marching band is like. So obviously we'll be in correspondence then. So there's a lot of recruiting and behind-the-scenes stuff going on.
He says tongue-in-cheek, is there a transfer portal in marching bands?
I wish. I don't think so. I don't think there is. But, you know, that would be cool if we can, you know, bring in some. I don't think we'd want to lose anybody, but if we can bring in some star players from across the country, we would.
All right. Our Vinyl Frontier star, John Tewitt, just tracked down a vinyl recording of the Yukon Marching Band that probably dates back to the late 1960s. You guys saw that album. Tell me what goes through your mind when you see that.
It's just the history of, you know, the UCMB. I mean, it's always one of those things that, you know, you have to appreciate what came before you. And obviously taking that legacy of this album here and seeing the letters on the back that, you know, are a little bit smaller than the letters are now, because, you know, the members weren't as vast. But, I mean, it's just those folks that should be proud of what they were doing now.
Can you, I don't know if it's on the cover or whether it's on the actual label inside on the 33 and a third album, but does it have the listing of the songs that they're playing in that 1968, 69 album?
It does.
Do you play any of those now besides the fight song? I'm guessing no.
No, I don't. No, we haven't played any of these other than, yeah, the fight song.
Yeah, no.
But we also saw that the name David Maker came up.
Yeah.
Actually, John asked you about that. Well, there's a David Maker story from this week. Do tell.
So David Maker came to rehearsal yesterday. You know, he was one of the assistant directors of the UCMB back in this time in the late 60s, and he's still local. He reached out to me in the summer. We met and had lunch, and he'll pop by rehearsal, you know, every now and then. He came yesterday. The former director, David Mills, was also at rehearsal yesterday, so we had a little bit of our own little homecoming rehearsal last night.
Because, as you know, I pay very close attention to what the band does, and I think under the leadership of those two men, Maker and Mills, the program really took off.
Yes.
And it's the level it is right now because of those two guys.
I believe so, too. You know, the two of them were a great team, and, you know, the success that we're having right now were based on, you know, a lot of the struggles that they had, you know, just recruiting and bringing the UCMB to where we are today. So we are forever indebted to, you know, their services.
Emlyn, what do you see yourself doing 10 years from now, and is the trumpet involved in that?
10 years from now, hopefully I'm in some sort of conservation field as far as marine science goes. But I definitely do see myself in a community band somewhere, practicing trumpet, getting my time in whenever I can, really. So, yeah, I do see it there.
Good for you. Emlyn Gonzalez, along with Malcolm Jones, the director of athletic bands at UConn. Looking forward to seeing you again when the Huskies are back home against Duke next Saturday. And I really enjoyed this. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Thank you for having us.
The pride of Connecticut Marching Band and UConn Pep Bands represent more than 325 students from across the entire University of Connecticut community, representing every UConn school and college and more than 100 majors. Through outstanding musical and visual performance at home, regionally and nationally, the UConn Athletic Bands maintain a high standard of excellence while building one of the strongest communities in the university.